In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, I'm sure it is no surprise to you that I am going to be speaking about the Holy Rosary. I'm guessing that practically every other traditional Catholic priest in the world will be talking about the Rosary today instead of focusing mainly on the epistle and gospel. And I will be speaking in other Sunday sermons this month about the rosary. There's much to learn about it as we all try during this month to grow in our devotion to the Holy Rosary, this magnificent gift, this magnificent prayer, this promise of untold blessings, and something that is a great instrument of sanctification. It will make you holier by praying it. St. Louis Marie de Montfort says, and this is one of the most striking quotations you could ever have from him, in which he says, that even if you've sold your soul to the devil, you still have hope of salvation if you pray the rosary and don't give up praying it. So what I'd like to talk about mainly today is the history of the rosary. And let's go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Psalms, which we are studying currently in our Tuesday night classes from the first and third Tuesdays of the month. You're all welcome to be there for that. You will certainly grow in your appreciation and awareness of the 150 Psalms. But that number is significant, 150. And when we look at the 15 decades of the Rosary, we see 150 Hail Marys. And historically, monks would pray the Psalms in the monasteries, nuns also in their convents. However, remember, many people were unlettered. And so instead of being able to pray the Psalms, there was an idea there, maybe 150 other prayers could be a substitute. And indeed, it was, because Our Lady gave the 15 decades to Saint Dominic to help him fight the Albigensian heresy. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go back now to the New Testament. There's a very interesting number given the second time Jesus worked a miracle where there were so many fish caught that it nearly sank the boats. We don't know what the number of fish was the first time, and that was when Peter and Andrew, James and John left their completely filled boats and nets and everything to follow Jesus. That was the beginning of their apostolic vocation. We don't know the number of the fish, but it nearly sank two boats. However, the second time Jesus worked this miracle, also after a night of fruitless fishing, no results. The second time, this is after the resurrection. This time we are given a number. What was that number of fish? 153. Now, everything in Holy Scripture is in there for a reason. Why would 153 be there? I believe it was to prefigure the rosary. Not just the 150 Hail Marys of the 15 decades, but the three Hail Marys at the beginning. I mean, what other significance could the 153 have? I believe that was a prefigurement. So going back now to the time of St. Dominic, who lived in the 13th century, Remember, he was having great difficulty converting the Albigensian heretics. And this was a rebirth of Manichaeism, which was a belief in two gods, a good God and a bad God. And they believed that the bad God created everything material, including the human body. The good God would create the soul. The bad God would create the body. Well, what sense does that make? None whatsoever, but still, this was the thinking here. So based on that, the body being evil, according to that false teaching, it was a good thing to destroy it through murder, suicide. Marriage would be bad because that's propagating the human race. So this is what St. Dominic was up against. And no matter how much he fasted and prayed and preached, very few results were forthcoming. Our Lady appeared to him one night after he's exhausted from his sacrificial labors, and she gave him the rosary and said, "Dominic, preach my rosary." And he did exactly that. He got the rosary into the heretics' hands. At least they accepted that they should pray, and they started praying, and then the conversions just flowed from that. The heresy was effectively eliminated. So it shows the power of the rosary. And it's something that we can also do. You can pray and sacrifice for the conversion of people, and there seem to be so few results, but get the rosary into their hands. If you can get them to start praying, marvelous results are going to happen. So that's the 13th century. We go forward now to the 16th century, to a great confrontation between the forces of Islam and the forces of the Catholic world at the time. And it was going to be a naval battle right off the coast of Greece, off of the coast where the town or city of Lepanto is. And unfortunately, Catholic Europe was very fractured. Remember that the scourge of the Protestant revolt had happened, so there was much division. Not only had Germany, Scotland, Switzerland, or at least large parts of those countries broken away from the Catholic faith, England also went into heretical schism. And Pope St. Pius V, as the sovereign of the Papal States, he had to be involved in helping to help organize and fund a navy because the Turkish navy was the great threat in the Mediterranean. And despite his best efforts, he couldn't get most of Catholic Europe to be involved. Again, squabbles, divisions, disagreements. He could command them in spiritual matters, but he couldn't command them to, give me your navy. So the Venetians were involved, the papal fleet was involved. Again, the Papal States was a large swath of of what is modern-day Italy. It was a country of its own, and it had to be defended. I forget which other one. Spain was involved. Don Juan was the leader of this fleet, and it wasn't looking good for the Catholic fleet. They were not as well-armed, well-prepared as the Turkish fleet. And Pope St. Pius V was urging the entire Catholic world to be praying the rosary. And I remember reading accounts that even in the battle, soldiers were taking rosaries with them, wrapping it around their arm, or having it on their person, praying to win this pivotal battle, which was going to determine the entire history of Europe. Because if the Turkish fleet won, it could make incursions all over the Mediterranean into Catholic countries and cause havoc and spread Islam. So I believe it was October 7th of 1571, or right there in the beginning of October, the pivotal battle happened. And would you know it? Right before the battle began, the wind shifted in favor of the Catholic fleet. Surely that was a result of the countless rosaries being prayed at that time. God, please help us. We need help. And the Catholic fleet won the decisive victory. Afterwards, Pope St. Pius V attributed it to the power of the rosary, to Our Lady's intercession, and he instituted the Feast of the Most Holy Rosary. That's tomorrow's feast. Moving along in history, and there's many stories of miraculous happenings because of the rosary on a smaller scale. We're looking more at the larger scale of things. But what did Our Lady say at Fatima? Pray the rosary for peace. And this was when the world was in the throes of the worst war ever seen. There had never been such widespread carnage as World War I up to that point. What was the solution? What should we do? Pray the rosary for peace. That's what the Mother of God said. And she identified herself at Fatima. She didn't say, I'm Our Lady of Fatima. Our Lady of the Rosary. And then, and I'm going to talk about this later this month, this is now after World War II. And by the way, World War II happened because not enough Catholics responded to Our Lady's message. It could have been prevented because Our Lady said so. If my requests are not answered, then this a greater war will break out. Russia will spread her errors throughout the world through communism. But to at least quickly allude to this, Austria and Brazil, Catholic countries, the majority of the population was Catholic. Enough Catholics prayed the rosary in those two countries and kept them from becoming taken over by communism. It was miraculous. There's no doubt about it. They should have become communist puppet states. But enough Catholics prayed the rosary, and in general were trying to, you know, become better Catholics and bring down God's blessings upon them, and it did happen. So that is what I'm going to share with you today. Some of the historical events of the rosary. I hope I have convinced you beyond any shadow of doubt, just from the history of what has happened with the rosary, to show you that it's something that you should pray, that your families together should aim at praying together. Oh, one other thing, one other historical aspect I could point to is Father Patrick Peyton's Rosary Crusade. There was a movie that came out about this. I watched some of it. It's very good. It's about how this zealous priest from Ireland came to the United States, and he was on fire with preaching the rosary. And his Rosary Crusade did so much good in the 40s and 50s and even into the 60s. He was preaching the rosary, and one of the rosary rallies that he had, I think, is still to this day the largest gathering of people ever It was like a million people. I think this was in San Francisco, believe it or not, in that area. And they came to hear a humble, zealous priest pray and say, pray the rosary. So there you have it. The history is there. History continues to be written. May it be written with much zealous response in praying the rosary from us and from everyone else.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.